Okay. All
right. Everything is inputting correctly. Blockies have been... I've decided I'm just keeping the wheeljack because I've got, like, a bunch of 84 and 85 Autobot Carwins, so he fits in. I was just disappointed that he wasn't Sunstreaker or IDW Megatron.
Well, yes. They
would be. I need Sunstreaker because I got Sideswipe.
Yeah.
I need the other brother.
Definitely.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready.
All right. Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen on the moon!
And I'm David. Cry for the moon!
And that's right, we are back at the lunacy of Transformers Cyberverse, picking up where we left off at its second season. This is the first episode of season two, episode 19 overall.
Is it? It feels like we missed a whole season.
Well, it feels like we missed actually decades, apparently.
The pacing is weird. I think I have commented before, as the one of us who watched the series previously, that the pacing is... you know how I talk about how great the pacing in Micronauts was as a like meta plot, like over the whole season? This is not it. This is like the opposite of that.
So this episode is Sea of Tranquility. My fellow astronomy nerds will recognize that as one of the areas of the moon.
It sure is, because they are on the moon.
That's right.
Yes, near the landing of one of the... which one was it? 11?
Apollo 11 was the first one, yes.
Yeah. It's within walking distance.
Yes.
Long walking distance.
It's probably the one lunar geographic feature that your average person is most likely to have heard of.
It's true.
Well, after the dark side.
Well, I guess. I don't know that that's
David,
a geographic feature.
David, I'm sorry. I believe you mean the dark of the moon.
Yes.
But no, this is... it's well known enough that it's name dropped in a Prince Sheena Easton song.
Yeah.
Arms of Orion, the song on the Batman soundtrack that you are most likely to hear in your dentist's office. So we open, and once again, Bumblebee, he's having real problems.
Oh.
He is remembering that time that he got the Allspark and got, like, juiced up by it. But then, in fact, it turns out he is just flashing back, and he is in the middle of a war zone on the moon.
And it's very obviously on the moon. It is the lunar surface. I believe there's Earth in the background.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Earth's back there and everything...
Isn't there a big Generation 1 episode where the Autobots and Decepticons have a big moon fight?
In the cartoon?
Yeah, I think that's part like of... is that right Blaster Blues?
Comic issue.
The comic issue.
Yes.
Right, right around like, Headmasters-ish.
We're the lineup of all the Autobots, and can you name them all?
Right.
Yes.
They had a contest.
Yeah, Blaster versus Grimlock, yes. Mm-hmm. Which, oh god, that was probably the Sea of Tranquility too, wasn't it? I don't know.
Probably.
Or the blue part of the moon, or whatever.
You're thinking of the blue area of the moon where Uatu the Watcher lives. I think they'd separated enough from Marvel at that point that they weren't doing that.
Which is sad, because they totally had that whole, you know, Savage Land being an integral part of the Dinobots backstory and all.
Still back in the region. Where exactly is the blue part of the moon on the moon?
I mean, I don't really know moon geography.
Oh,
and I'm suspecting that neither did Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. They were like, I don't know, it's on the moon.
I know, but it feels like it's something that somebody would have pointed out at some point. It's like, oh, it's over in this corner or something.
I mean, there probably is a handbook entry or something where it was identified.
Now I have to look it up.
There is also a fight on the moon in the episode Blaster Blues.
Yes.
Okay.
That's also where the Minicon's base was in the Armada comics.
Yes.
But here it is Autobot versus Decepticon. We've got our ARC crew from the first season. And then in this, it's not just the Seekers that we mostly saw hanging around last season. We got Megatron here, we got Shockwave, we got Soundwave, we got Starscream. All your Decepticon greatest hits.
Yes. All the major characters you are familiar with. Shockwave! I love his angry eyebrow so much.
And also,
he should just always have that going forward.
And Soundwave has become a real snarky bitch.
Yeah.
Yes, also very fond of just playing music at everyone. Like, during this battle, yes. He is absolutely playing off-brand Down with the Sickness.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like, I was like, is it rave music? Is it gore? He plays some weird shit.
I just want to hear his flanged voice do the ooh-ah-ah part.
I really like this Soundwave's design, especially his face. Like, his visor is, like, at a right angle. It's very angry.
Yeah, I would say as characters who cannot really viably continue to be their original alt modes, Soundwave has usually made out pretty well.
Yeah.
I would say Shockwave has done the worst, because, like...
Yes,
because he never gets an alt mode that makes any damn sense.
No.
Well, too bad, because now he's going to be a whale.
Honestly, the whale is like the best fucking idea he's had in
Shock
forever. Shock
whale!
Like, it... Was he in... Yeah, he was in... Okay, an animator was okay, because he was a spy at work. He had an alt mode that was like an age tank that became a crane.
Right.
It's fine. That worked. Mm-hmm. Not the greatest. Then we had Prime, where he just turned into like a spiky dragster or something.
Like a tank. He had treads, I think. He was like a tank-ish
thing. Yeah, but
it's like
he's a high-speed tank. I didn't...
It's very much like, let's take this robot mode that we have and just make it in a shape of something.
Oh! Wait, yeah, because that was following, like, the movie design.
Right.
Which is basically the same thing.
I'm not even sure he ever transformed in the movie.
No, but we got the toy, and it basically was kind of like
the toy.
Thing.
Well, yeah.
There was the video games before that had him in it, and he was like a triple changer, like he was like a gun emplacement in a helicopter or something.
Right.
Which was kind of neat, but they never did toys with that because it was just in the games. And then we got the Cyberverse shit, which is just like a spider tank. With only four legs, and it's like, oh, I hate it so much.
But he's got the angry eyebrow, which makes up for everything.
He does have the angry eyebrow.
I do like his robot mode. Robot mode is great. Alt mode just sucks ass.
I love his angry eyebrow so much.
But we're getting Whale. Whale, I am really excited for Whale. I really hope it's fucking big.
I am very excited that the Whale has a mono eye. Because yes. I was going to be just, like, deeply distressed on a primal level if he had an animal mode that gave him two eyes. That would just be, like, too incorrect.
No, I mean, I want him as a commander. Probably not going to get that, but goddamn, I want a commander. Well, actually, honestly, I want, like, a titan, a whale.
Yes.
But anything big is fine.
If he was a Titan, I would definitely want, like, some little, like, Minicon Remoras that attach onto him.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, they could be the, reflectors.
Anyway, so Prowl is here, Hot Rod is here, Rack and Ruin.
Oh, yeah, Rack
Wheeljack.
And Ruin. I'm not hallucinating. Rack and Ruin weren't in last season, right?
I think they were in last season.
They were? Like, briefly in a... A flashback.
Oh, there was like a flashback. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Because right. I was like, wait, did we see them last season? I don't remember. Because it's been a while since we watched this, and my main memory of Rack and Ruin is their toy, which I have on my desk.
Yay! Like, yes.
I know they exist. I don't know where, and they're here, and barely. Like, they're just sort of blink and then they disappear. I swear they're not in the end of the episode.
And so it seems that this has, like, after the first season, decades have now passed.
Maybe it's not clear.
What time period was the original series? Was it a flashback? Was that in the '80s or something?
Well, the main series may have taken place in the '80s, and this is now apparently 2007.
All right, yeah, because we get the weird. Wait, when do we get the flashback to how did we get here bit?
We get that's right near the beginning where you get like top robot fails and like people taking videos.
Oh yeah, the robot fails bit was kind of funny. Like, sometimes this show does do comedy that lands.
Yes.
Also, sometimes it does not.
Like, the getting there, it's like, what? How?
Their dedication to not actually making any human models is interesting.
Was nightmarish. Like, as they was like, oh, we're getting newscasters. We're finally going to see an Earthling model. No, we're not. Humans do not exist in this show. We can hear their voices, but we don't see them.
They do exist because they're being addressed by Optimus Prime. They just...
Yeah.
They're off-camera ADR. That's all they are. They're disembodied.
Yes. Humans,
every human being on Earth is the Invisible Man.
It's a whole planet of Lilith Cranes.
It's a little weird.
It's a lot... Like, Well, no, I didn't forgive it in the first season. It was annoying and weird. The closest we got was seeing a picture of a human on a billboard. That was it. So technically, human-shaped things exist, even though I'm not even sure that was a human. But, like, we're doing this and we're skipping.
You don't know.
Like, oh,
it could have been a Microtian.
Yeah. Humans know about Transformers, and we don't still see humans. We're never going to see humans in the series. And that's... strange.
I mean, I guess that's great for all the people who wanted there to be fewer humans in Transformers stories.
Yes.
But we're giving them lines now! It just hurts my brain.
It's weird.
It's very weird.
So yeah, we've got Megatron's got a planet smasher that he is going to use to... Big engine, it's going to smash the moon into the Earth.
Well, first, and then... laser. We didn't get to the laser yet. Isn't the rockets next episode?
No,
the Earth Smasher is the laser.
Yeah, the Earth... Yeah.
The original Earth Smasher, and then the rockets in the next episode are their backup plan.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Earth Smasher is not a great name.
No.
No, it's not very helpful. It's not very descriptive.
We're still doing two episodes at a time because they're half-length episodes.
Yes.
And they very much blend together.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a scene where we see a vast predatory Decepticon ship crash in the...
Yes.
Oh, how did we get here part? Which was like, that was kind of a serious scene for... And then go to the, oh, robot fails! It's like, whiplash!
Oh, Hot Rod. Falling off a cliff while posing.
So Megatron, almost the main plot of this is almost not this the super weapon, but mainly that Megatron is trying to get Starscream to help him, and Starscream is leaving him on red.
Yes.
Yeah, we get some Decepticon drama.
And Prime is fighting Megatron. He kind of gets a leg.
And Starscream is fighting off Windblade, and then an assist from Grimlock and Bumblebee, and the three of them together manage to knock down every Seeker.
It's okay. I really like the abundance and variety of Seekers, and I know that it's just useful for them to do that because it's obviously their budget for models is limited. See my theorizing in our first episode on Micronauts. But it is nice that gets us, like, this really exciting abundance and variety of Seekers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Many varied colors. Although I think all the ones in this episode are the male model, because there's a male and a female model. Oh, no, do we see...
I mean, it is hard to tell, because there's... Well, Slipstream is here, but also there's just they're in vehicle mode a lot.
Yes.
Oh, it's in this next episode where we see them mostly in robot mode. Yeah.
Yes.
I think they're all male models then.
Like Fabio?
Well, we get Acid Storm, but I can't recall which Acid Storm we got.
Can't recall how Acid Storm is feeling today.
No, non-binary icon Stripstring. Or non-binary icon Acid Storm.
How Acid Storm is presenting today.
Anyway, so Wheeljack builds a thing that gets through the force field around the Planet Smasher, so they smash the Planet Smasher. And the Decepticons retreat back to their bunker. Starscream is kind of hoping that Megatron's not going to make it, but he does indeed make it.
Also, at least Bumblebee got his voice fixed, because...
Yes, he did.
He continues to be a significant character, and man, that was annoying.
Yeah, we don't want to see this again. We can't deal with this.
No.
So, the Autobots get through, they destroy the Planet Smasher, and surprisingly, there are no Decepticons left to smash. But they've got a backup plan. What could it be?
So they all go down underground to their underground base. Also, yes. At one point, Soundwave, like, plays a music sting. And also, there's the big fight with Optimus and Megatron. Oh. And my notes for that were, at least they're not quoting the movie.
This is true.
Because it was a very... Yeah, it's possible this writing team has not seen the movie, but maybe they are just not. I hate to think that the only two modes are haven't even seen the movie or quote the movie relentlessly. Like, I feel like it's possible to have seen the movie but also have the creative decency to write your own dialogue.
Or at least quote other scenes in the movie.
Yes.
Quote Hot Rod, please. Quote Cup.
But I was glad that I will give them the benefit of the doubt and not be like, all these writers are fake fans. I will give them the benefit of the doubt and suggest that maybe they just, like, did not need to do that kind of unnecessary overdone fan service. Not like some people we can mention. Not like some comic books we can mention.
Yeah. So, Starscream gets demoted.
Yes.
I got so mad.
Yes, very.
Promoted in, a woman has been promoted over him because Megatron has gone woke.
Yes!
Return of, notes on the... On the YouTube, it has the title, and then it has an emoji. Emoji for this episode is a wave.
Cool, because it's a sea.
All right, Sea of Tranquility.
That just reminds me of the whole thing about how apparently you can completely ruin the new ChatGPT model's day by asking it if there's a seahorse emoji.
And it, like, hallucinates that there used to be one.
Just keeps second-guessing itself and just goes in circles.
Yeah, that was a fun infinite loop.
All right, and that brings us to our next episode. And I see a bad moon rising. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see bad times today.
Just about the only boomer music that I really appreciate.
Good one for your Halloween mix, too.
Yeah, and I gotta work on that, because I'm gonna have trick-or-treaters this year.
Ooh.
So many kids in my neighborhood, oh my god.
It's gonna be great. What is the actual moon emoji that this is called? First quarter moon face emoji.
Moon phase or moon face?
Face, I think. I don't know.
Does it look like Doug Jones?
Sadly, no.
You know, he was...
face on it. Yeah, he was Mac Tonight.
He was Mac Tonight.
Oh, right.
At conventions, he still knows all the words to the song, because I'm sure he had to listen to it a zillion times when they were doing the commercial.
That is wonderful.
Or is it last quarter? It's some moon emoji.
When the clock strikes, 6:30, babe.
It's a short, memorable song. So
no, that, well,
wait, did he actually do the singing in the?
He didn't do the. He didn't do the sing, but he had to like mime along to it.
Oh, okay.
So he even knows like the extended version of it.
I mean, they were probably playing it as he did all the stuff,
right? So he could like mime along to, you know, playing the piano. So he's sort of doing the right thing and like at, on the beat. But I don't think it's him singing. Yeah, I guess that and like Batman Returns were his big breaks.
Nice.
Oh, and right, course, he was one of the clowns.
Yes, and then of course right after that, he was in Hocus Pocus, previous episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Previous Halloween Patreon, as I recall.
I had to have a bunch of live moths in his mouth.
Yeesh. Could not be me.
And I guess the first time...
But what if they're the cute little pink rosy moths?
Well, then I definitely don't want them in my mouth.
Well, yeah.
It's not where they go.
But yeah, I guess the first time he tried it, it didn't quite work, and the mouths just sort of surfed out of his mouth on like a river of saliva. But they got it the second time. But no moths were harmed. I saw him at a convention talking about how the moth handler.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
The Moth Whisperer. Oh,
sounds like they did a better job than Phil Tippett, the dinosaur.
You had one job, Phil. So yeah, this is the second episode of Cyberverse Season 2, written by Gavin Hynight. Last seen in these parts, right in Eruption, the season finale of last year.
Cool.
So we are still up.
Gavin Hynight sounds like an occult detective.
Or like a seafood restaurant.
Hmm. I'm going to go with occult detective.
How is it a seafood restaurant? Is it a Canadian joke?
I'm thinking of Captain. I'm thinking of Captain Highliner.
Never heard of that.
Oh, I thought you were thinking of Arthur Treacher.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Anyway, so Starscream is flashing back to all those times that he was Megatron's bitch.
Yeah, Starscream, this is
your life.
This
time we do almost get a G1 dialogue line where he does say you're either lying or you're malfunctioning.
Mm.
Which, I don't know if that was intentional, because that is generally a fair thing to say to Starscream with the things he gets up to. Triple Takeover, so, also an episode we did.
Yes, it was. Hmm. The one where Blitzwing deployed the long bomb.
Yes. The one where Skids gets a single line.
That's right.
And they cut it for the G2 edit.
Yes.
Oh.
Ah, poor Skids.
I mean, it had to make way for the Cybernet Space Cube.
Yes.
Hmm.
So the Decepticons are in this Boon Doom bunker, and the Autobots are trying to get into this elevator to John McClane their way through. And Megatron is having a real bad time. Like, his leg
they
is all busted up.
They got a moon engine. I'm having Moonfall flashbacks here.
That's
the
right.
The moon is headed towards the Earth.
Yep, we're just gonna smack the moon into the Earth, and then we'll just like look through the debris to find the Allspark, because I guess the Allspark is indestructible? Question mark.
I mean, I guess it's a religious artifact, so maybe. But I do
I feel
like
that you're kind of underestimating how big the Earth is, because it's very big.
Well, yeah, but if it has like a particular energy signature or something. I don't know. I do appreciate that this does feel like a shockwave plan, because there's just absolute disregard for collateral damage.
Yes.
Just aggressive amounts of collateral damage being shrugged off. Like, sure, it destroys an entire planet, but we'll find the thing that we're after.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I was trying to find, like, from the old Lensman series, E. Doc Smith's thing, like, I was thinking, like, oh, what is it called when you use a planet to smash into another planet?
Planet Smasher?
No, I was thinking it was called a Nutcracker, But that's actually when you get two planets and smash a third planet between them.
Oh.
Just using one planet is just called a free planet. That's nowhere near as fun.
I think this is also how the Yuuzhan Vong killed Chewbacca in the Star Wars Expanded Universe.
Oh, yes, it is! Which is...
Expanded Universe.
Like, how it actually happens is way more confusing than, oh, Chewbacca was just on that moon. No, they fly down to the planet as the moon is coming in, try to rescue some people, and in the process, Chewbacca doesn't get back on the Millennium Falcon and gets smushed while everybody else escapes.
And then also they're doing this with, like, bioengineering, question mark?
Yeah, because Yuuzhan Vong have, like, some nonsense thing that just, like, fucks with gravity and makes what you pointed at, it goes toward what you pointed at, because they don't have hyperdrive. It's
I'm just going
to... Don't read Yuuzhan Vong stuff if you're going to read any of the old EU.
Make a controversial statement and say that the expanded universe deserved to die.
You're saying that that Star Wars doesn't really work with a bunch of like weird Hellraiser aliens?
Yeah, not so much.
Anywho, so these rockets are rocketing the moon into the Earth, and Wheeljack's trying to come up with a solution, and he's like, "So how important is moon retention to?"
I love that enough that I wrote it down. How important is it to keep? He's like, how important is it to keep the Earth's moon intact? And Hot Rod goes, yeah, they'll probably want it in one piece. And Wheeljack just goes, got it. fair question. I feel like Wheeljack would probably understand enough about like planetary physics to realize that you probably don't want to lose a moon suddenly for a civilized planet, but it's a fair question. Maybe they don't need that moon.
I mean, Cybertron does not appear to have suffered any major ill effects from having two moons chomped on by Unicron.
That is fair. Maybe, like, he's just used to weird Cybertronian planetary physics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not like Cybertron has tides to fuck up, so...
Yeah.
Well, I guess it sometimes has like what is it the Rust Sea that might have tides.
Yes.
Yeah, but is that just rust? It's hard to tell.
I feel like that's not liquid, but I could be wrong.
We saw like liquid in Beast Machines.
Yeah, well, but Beast Machines is weird.
Future weird. Yeah.
I mean, we just saw a clear liquid. I don't think they would call it water. It could have just been a massive reservoir of delicious Sprite.
Mm-hmm.
I always figured the Sea of Rust is like, oh, there used to be a sea there, now it's only rust.
I figured it was just so much free-floating rust particles that it behaved in a roughly liquid manner.
Oh, so it's like those people like when you die in like a silo of corn.
Yes.
Have we gotten to the point where Megatron has fallen yet?
Yeah, Megatron has indeed fallen. Starscream furries him along his way.
Has declared himself the new leader. I love it when it's because Megatron just literally falls over.
Yep. Yes. So Shockwave has set this place to self-destruct. They gotta get out of there. And, what about Megatron? Well, you know, he'll make it back, or, you know, he won't.
He won't. Hmm. Oh, well. And if he doesn't, shrug.
Oh, and the Autobots that are going in there, I think it may even be Grimlock, are talking about, like, oh, we're like the first bots in the moon. And then I was just wondering, where are the Selenites?
I was wondering where all the Hollow Moon stuff from Moonfall was.
Sadly, we don't pan out and see that, like, the Decepticon ship is, like, wedged in some French guy's eyeball.
Oh, there are actually, like, hollow tubes on the moon. Because of, like, how it was formed, there are, like, just pockets of where it was liquid at one point and just moved away. So it's got, like, lava tubes.
Mm.
Did have been there for a moment.
Wheeljack's got the engines, and somehow these rocket engines have a reverse, which is really how rockets work, but whatever.
Yeah, that's what... No, negative. how there's a reverse on rock. I mean, the way they show it, it's like, oh, the big engine shuts off and little retro rockets start, but
there is some very Vince DiCola.
Even if you did turn that on, I don't think that would pull the moon back, because the rockets are pointing down at the planet. They would be pushing on the planet, or the moon, be pushing on the moon. It's the giant rockets don't have a reverse. You need rockets on the other side.
There is some very Vince DiCola music as they're attacking the engines too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's knockoff Vince DiCola. You might call it Vince to Pepsi.
Oh, when they all go back
Vince
to
Vince DePib.
Vince, when they all go back to the Nemesis, the Decepticons, and leave Megatron behind, and Starscream takes over the command chair, which Soundwave is grumpily sitting and does not want to get out of the chair, Starscream's barking orders and then is asking, like, what do these little buttons on the chair do? Like, what?
Also, we once again see one of Shockwave's amazing little spider drones, which I love yes. a lot. I enjoy those a great deal.
I would like those if that wasn't also his alt mode.
I guess. Mm. That they're just tiny, his alt mode.
Yeah, I don't like that. As a minions, yeah, that's fine. As little hims, no. But wait, Megatron still functions.
Yes. And it's almost less like Transformers the movie, kind of more like that one episode of Generation 2, where Megatron gets the crap beaten out of him by G-Axis.
Man, that was like, I loved that panel, that big splash panel, when I was in high school and G2 was new, and I had a photocopy of it up in my locker.
Yeah, he's just got like gunge and scorch marks, and it's not quite as 1994 as that image.
No. Well, no, it's a lot more, we just put an extra texture on the model that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Megatron proceeds to grab Starscream and just chuck him around the ship down hallways as he's trying to run away. It's a lot of workplace abuse.
Yeah,
Starscream is in real trouble now.
He's just beating, like, it's like Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci on that guy in Goodfellas.
Mm.
Just get kicked in the ribs and thrown into a bunch of walls and shot.
Through walls.
And even Soundwave and Shadowstrike are like, I don't know, man.
They're like,
should we call HR? I think Starscream is HR.
And he's evil enough to be HR.
Yeah.
I do kind of wish that, like, the final bit where, like, Starscream's trying to run out of the Nemesis and gets shot in the back by Megatron in tank mode. I wish Starscream had actually sort of, like, made it out of the ship first before he got shot, so it would be a reference to that one episode of Gundam Wing. But then, of course, he can actually fly, unlike the guy who gets dropped out of a plane and then shot in midair.
Yeah, that's rough. That's real rough.
Just to make sure he's dead. It's like, you're going to hit the ground in a couple minutes, but I want to make sure you're dead first.
I mean, sometimes you just got strong feelings. Sometimes you just want someone to die extra.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's on the moon, he's dead, and Megatron's all, yep, well, we're done here.
So he's dead.
Yeah.
Being Starscream, he is definitely entirely dead and not gonna come back.
And meanwhile, Optimus Prime is, he's making his, the battle's done, so now he's signaling to the people of Earth. I can almost hear the faint strains of Linkin Park in the background.
I have a playlist of Transformers related songs, and it has like that Bump of Chicken song they used for the video, and I have thus far resisted putting Linkin Park on it, but I am only fooling myself.
Yeah, that one's that's actually a good song. I mean, okay, it's maybe nostalgia of the time, but like, yeah, there's one of the better parts of that movie. It's a good lead into credits song.
I mean,
it's
you can
a
see
good
why that
AMV song.
Well, there's that I mean, too. Yes,
and also that meme from a couple years ago when everybody was putting the end of every movie to what I've done.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty great.
Good stuff.
And but meanwhile, Bumblebee is like, "Hey, didn't you see a cheetah?"
Dun dun Moon dun. Cat? I like it's him, and Hot Rod turns to look too because their himbo sense has detected a kindred soul.
Because the seas will indeed turn out to be too many himbos.
It really is. It really is. It's like having a litter of orange kittens, which I have had before. It's fun.
In this. Who will have the brain cell in this episode? That is it for this episode. We'll be back next week with more Cyberverse action. What did we think of this opening two-parter?
Confusing? It's weird that, like, because it's been a while since we watched last season, but going into this jump forward, we've missed time. Like, it is kind of interesting because, oh, shit's happening now. But it's also like, wait, how did we get here? Why didn't we start the show here?
That's a good question. Why did we have to endure season one?
Yeah. Indeed. What the fuck even is season one?
I mean, we didn't really have a lot from season one that we really needed to get to here because...
No.
A lot of that show kind of depended on us knowing, you know, who these characters are from other Transformers incarnations.
Yeah. Like, it very much... This feels like an entirely different show, to be quite honest. It feels like they threw out, like, all the story bible, the scripts and everything. It's like, let's just do an entirely different version of Transformers from the season we just did.
I mean, we do know that it's at least some of the same writers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe, like, Hasbro gave them the original series concept, and they were like, okay, that's cool, let's do something else now that we've established this.
And now, of course, the name Cyberverse makes absolutely no sense.
Yes.
No.
Correct.
I do hope that when we get to season three, like, it's a time jump another 20 years into the future. We get, like, season three of G1.
I think it is like weird space stuff for most of that series.
Oh, goody!
Most of that season.
I'm cool with that part.
Yeah, we do eventually get to weird space stuff because I guess they figure out that they can only be on Earth for so long before they really have to show some humans. Mm-hmm. And by show some humans, I mean pay for some human models.
Yes. All right, well, that does it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more exciting Cyberverse action. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Blue Sky, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. Every month for our Patreon subscribers, for as little as $1 a month, we do some kind of super fun side thing. Sometimes it has to do with a movie that's out. Sometimes it's a movie that has just come to streaming. For October, we always like to do something extra spooky. And so this month... So I didn't even know that this existed, despite being someone who generally knows a lot of things about Marvel comics and also old VHS garbage. So apparently, Toei did an anime based specifically on the Tomb of Dracula comics.
Yes, Rob will probably have more of a reason of why this happened when we get to the actual Patreon, yes. But. But I learned about this at a like a bad anime panel decades ago.
Well,
like,
that is a
what?
Fair place to learn about it, because it was dubbed at the time by Harmony Gold, which should tell you some things about the quality to expect in the English edition.
And also the time period, because it was Harmony Gold when we didn't hate them outright.
Yes, yes. I don't know, man. I had a friend when I was a teenager who just, like, had very strong feelings about Carl Masick.
But that's Carl Masick. This is the era when Carl Masick was involved in the dubbing. And it's like, he was sometimes an odd guy, but like, he was at least trying to make quality dub of the time
he was
as
trying
quickly
to
as
make...
possible without... be too
he's
expensive.
Trying to make anime happen in the U.S., and frankly, yes. That's respectable.
Yes.
But, yes, so we will be, actually, as we wrap up this recording, we're gonna go record that. It's gonna be fun. I know already it's gonna be fun, because, man, that sure was a movie directly based on the Tomb of Dracula comics, animated by late 70s, early 80s Toei.
70 issues of a comic turned into 90 minutes of an anime.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Things keep happening. Just happening constantly. So yes, for as little as a dollar a month, you get access to that and our previous episodes. Last month, we did the Thunderbolts movie, which we had mixed feelings among the group on. Some of us really liked it, not everybody did, and that's always a fun debate to have. And yeah, so that is at patreon.com/IaconUnderground.
All right, so until next time, good night.
Good night and good luck.
Ah, I got blockies. ASMR brought to you by I Bought Some Blockies.